Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. I titled today's message, The Benefits of the Gospel of Christ. Another title I could have used is, Forget Not All His Benefits. There are benefits to being a believer. There are benefits to being a Christian. The Apostle Paul, we're in Romans chapter 5 today, the Apostle Paul knew those blessings and tells us to rejoice in them. To rejoice in those blessings, to boast in those blessings. He uses that kind of language again and again. So today we're going to take a look at the five benefits, five of the benefits, there's more benefits than that, five of the benefits found in Romans chapter 5. If you have your Bibles with you, if your Bible apps, turn to Romans chapter 5. Benefit number one, you can have peace with the Lord. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We all want peace. We all need peace. We don't want war. We don't want unhappy marriages. We want peace in the home, peace in the marriages. We want to have peace in our heart. It's something that we want. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants peace. I'm always reminded of the cartoon where one of the cartoon characters lies on the floor and repeats, kind of chants to himself, inner peace, inner peace, inner peace, and then he's annoyed by the other character that lays beside him and ultimately says, hey, let's go get some food, and he says, okay. Obviously, that was not the way to get true inner peace. I'm always kind of humorously reminded of that, not how you get true peace, true inner peace. Before salvation, there is no peace. True inner peace, if we're to talk about real inner peace, it comes through our relationship with the Lord, which comes through Christ. Before salvation, there's no inner peace. Not knowing that you have eternal life. You don't have that realization, that full knowledge that you have eternal life, because before Christ, you don't have it. There's no peace. There's no relationship with the Lord. You don't have that peace. True peace, of course, comes through Christ. We are justified, he says, by faith through Christ. Justified. We are made innocent in God's eyes. We are forgiven through Jesus Christ. And as such, after salvation, there is peace. We can know that we have eternal life through Christ. We can know that we have that we are not going to receive the wrath of God, but have eternal life because of Jesus, what Jesus has done for us, and we have received that from Christ. And so we have peace. We can have peace in our heart, knowing, just that understanding that where we are going, we have that peace with the Lord. We have a relationship with the Lord. You can even have peace in the midst of prayer. All believers have that ability to go to the Lord and bring your request to the Lord, and what does God say he'll do for you? He will give you peace. So through Christ, we can have peace. It's one of the benefits of a believer is peace. Peace with the Lord. Benefit number two, you can have access to the Lord. We have peace, and we can have access to the Lord. We'll look at verse 2. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And so we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By faith and by grace, we have access to eternal life. By faith and by grace, this gift that God has given us, God has provided the front door for us. He's made the way. He's opened up the front door. Imagine a home, if you would, with no front door. What kind of a home would that be? It would not be a welcoming home. There would be no welcome mat for you there. But God has opened up the front door. God has put the welcome mat down. He has put the cookies in the oven. He's made it inviting for us to come in. We have an open door. God has made the way. He's provided the front door. Not a back door, but a front door for us to come in to this wonderful experience of eternal life, to this relationship that we can have with God the Father. By faith and by grace, we can also have a personal access to God. Not just eternal life, not just that we have that peace, that we know where we are going. And that is awesome that we know where we're going, guys. That's incredible. That kind of peace that we have, knowing that we have eternal life, is great. But not only that, we have a personal access to God. We can go to God in prayer. All believers can go to the Lord in prayer and have that relationship with Him. We have access to His Spirit living in us and through us and with us. How awesome that is, that we have access to the Lord by faith into this grace that we stand. This is one of several times that the word rejoice is used. He says, rejoice in the hope. He uses rejoice in regards to tribulation. He uses rejoice in regards to God Himself. He rejoice in regards to reconciliation. Paul talks about our boasting and our rejoicing. And this is a chapter of Romans that Paul is just praising the Lord through. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Boast in God. Boast in your reconciliation. Rejoice in the Lord. We have so much to worship God for, so much to praise Him for, so much to thank Him for. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. We can praise God. We have so much to get passionate about God for. So much that we have to boast and rejoice about. We can rejoice in the peace that we have, that we just talked about. We can rejoice that we have access to God. We can rejoice in the hope that we have of eternal life. Hope. Hope is confident expectation. This confident expectation in God. Hope in the glory. Hope in the power of God. Hope in eternal life. This incredible hope we can rejoice in. Peace. Access. Benefit number three. You can trust God to be with you through every tribulation. Not only do we have peace with the Lord, not only do we have personal access to the Lord, but that same Lord, that same God, will be with us in every tribulation. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, not only so, but we also boast in, what does he say there? Tribulation. Is that what your version says? That's what my Bible says. Tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces patience, patience produces character, and character produces hope. Tribulation, what is tribulation? Maybe your Bible doesn't use the word tribulation. Tribulation can be defined as trouble, as suffering. Tribulation is also defined as distress, unhappiness, heartache, sorrow. How many of you gone through some of that? Heartache, sorrow, distress, suffering. You've gone through some tribulation in your life. Nobody wants it. We don't want the heartache. We don't want the trouble. We don't want the distress. And it does not say to rejoice because of the tribulation. Did you catch that? We're not to rejoice because of the tribulation, but what's he say? We rejoice in the tribulation. God is with you through the tribulation. It's not that we're happy about the suffering or the problem or the heartache, the persecution. We're not happy about the tribulation, but that God is using this in your life. God is with you through it all, and he's going to use this suffering, use that heartache to bless you in some way. God uses tribulation to build, what does your Bible say? Mine says character. Character. He uses this adversity to grow us, to make us better in some kind of a way. Some versions use the word experience. Tribulation leads to experience. But what this means is that by our experience, we are being, our character is being refined, refined like in a fire. You ever seen how some bladesmith, you could go on YouTube and watch this, how some bladesmith will make their swords or their knives? It's quite an interesting process. The bladesmith, he will take the metal and he'll heat it up to the point where it's malleable, and then he'll begin hammering away at it, folding it, hammering away at it, keep heating it up and doing this until it gets to the point where he likes what it looks like, and then he will heat it up, and then he'll do what they call quench. I was going to say quench, but quench. He'll quench it. He'll get it cold real fast, and that somehow makes it hard. Now, I don't know how all that works. It's kind of a confusion. I've never worked on metal like that before, and so I don't understand the whole process. But it's interesting that this, and then he goes on to polish it. He makes the metal nice and smooth. It's really interesting to me that this is what God does with us. He uses these experiences in our lives to make us malleable. And he begins to mold us, and he begins to shape us. And no, we don't want to go through those situations, and we don't rejoice because of the situation, but in that situation, God is using this to grow your character. He's using every experience to build you and grow you and refine you to the point where he begins to polish you off and smooth you out. God uses these in your life. Tribulation, what does it say, leads to a patient faith. Tribulation produces patience, a patient faith, a steadfastness. Knowing that God is with you through it all, you become patient, you become steadfast, trusting in the Lord, patient in the Lord. He's with you through it all. You keep trusting in Him. And yes, the problem doesn't necessarily go away right away, but He is with you through it all. We sing that song in churches. He was with me through it all. And we become patient in our faith. And patience, what does it do? It produces character. That character, that refining process, it stands the test. Those blades, when the bladesmiths are done with it, they can take it, they can chop things up because they've made a good blade. What God has done in you, building your character, refining you, you can stand the test. Whatever storm comes your way, you can trust in the Lord. He is with you through it all. It doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what's tomorrow. God has refined your character to stand the test. Character experience builds our hope in God's faithfulness. Psalm 22, verse 4 through 5 says this. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and you were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. This is what tribulation produces. It produces patience. What patience produces, it produces character. What character produces, it produces this hope, this confident expectation in the Lord. We rejoice because God is building the hope that's in you, knowing that God is with you through it all. They cried out and they trusted in you and were not ashamed. Faith comes from the Word, and I preach on that quite often lately. Last week we preached specifically on faith. Faith comes from the hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes from the Word, but hope comes from character. Hope comes from experience. Hope comes from this refining process where you learn to keep hoping in the Lord, to keep trusting in Him. Don't be too quick to get out of your tribulation. We don't like it. We don't want it. We don't want to go through the suffering. We don't want to go through the pain. But don't be too quick to get out of it because God can use that situation. God can use that problem, that experience, to refine your character and build hope in you. Benefit number four, peace, access, hope. Number four, benefit four. You can have the love of God and His Spirit. Look at Romans 5, verse 5. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Love. Someone once said, I love you so much, I'd fight a bear for you. Well, not a grizzly bear, because grizzly bears have claws. And not a panda bear, because they know kung fu. But a Care Bear. I'd fight a Care Bear for you. Yeah, that might be true. There are those who want to feel loved. We all want to feel loved, but some need it more than others. Some have gone through issues in their lives where they need to feel that love. And there are those that need to love others. Whatever is in their heart, maybe bitterness, maybe anger, it keeps them from being able to share that love that's in them. Being able to love others. We need that love. We need to share that love. And here, we have the answer. A believer has access to a different kind of love. Not something we have to manufacture in our own heart or in our own mind. God gives that love, and it's deposited there. What does he say? By his Spirit. He deposits it. He gives it to us. He gives it to every believer. Every Christian has access to this love. We can experience God's love. We can feel God's love. We can also use that same love to share with others. That's so incredible. We don't have to manufacture this love. Everyone needs to be able to love, but this love comes from God. As a believer, we have his Spirit. What a blessing. Not only do we have his love, we have his Spirit. In his Spirit, he can fill us. We are given his Spirit. When we are born again, when we receive Jesus, we are given his Spirit. But we can have more of him. We can have his anointing. What a blessing to have his Spirit. How awesome to have God's presence. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. How awesome it that God dwells in us, that we are not alone. Not only do we have God, we can have his love. What a blessing. God is with us and in us. God's power, which comes from his Spirit, is a benefit in our lives in every way. It benefits you on the job. It benefits you when you're at school. It benefits you when you're at home, because his Spirit, his power, does what? It provides wisdom. It provides direction and empowers us. If we pray for someone, it's God who's working through us, in us and through us. His power benefits us every day and in every way in our lives. We need God. Peace, access, hope, love, and his Spirit. Let's talk about the fifth benefit. Hopefully I'm not going through these quite too fast. I know we've got potluck coming up. But I'm hoping this is some good news to you. This is the gospel of Christ and benefits which come from the gospel of Christ. Benefit number 5, you can avoid his wrath and have eternal life. Romans 5 verse 9, much more than. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. A reason. Here's a reason for all believers to come to the Lord. We all come for our own reasons, but this is a big one. One is fear of God's judgment, fear of that wrath, and the other is the expectation of eternal life, the blessing that comes with eternal life. We all have our reasons and our motivations for saying yes to Jesus, but this is a biggie. We don't want to experience his wrath or judgment, and we want the blessing of eternal life, that expectation. What was your reason? Maybe whatever it was, you had that reason. This might have been a part of it. This is one big reason for everybody. For me, it was the love of God and the expectation of eternal life. That was part of my motivation. I knew the Lord at the point that I received the Lord, and so I loved the Lord already, and I wanted that eternal life. For me, it wasn't the wrath part. I wanted the blessing. But I don't know what it was for you. We all have our reasons. Some, you know, the biggest shock to me is there are some who just don't care. There are some that choose not to think about it. And I can't even wrap my mind around that. Why some would choose not to even think about it, not to even worry about it. It seems so black and white to me. Because if God is real, and if his word is real, and if the gospel message is real, which we believe, then you have the issue of God's wrath, God's judgment, and the blessing of God's eternal life. And how can you sit there and just not think about it? How can you sit there and not worry about it? I do not understand that. But for those that want his blessing, God provided, as we talked about here, God provided the front door. God made the way. He gave that front door access. The welcome mat is out. The cookies are in the oven. He said, you are welcome to come to me. Here's a simple process for coming to the Lord. We understand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made the front door so simple. Our immediate faith response, to believe in him, to repent of our sins, to confess him as Lord. Romans 10 talks about confessing him as Lord. But then we have our obedient faith response, and we talk about this frequently. Obedient in baptism. Obedient in following his commandments. But that front door is open. It begins with believing. We are justified by his blood. We are born again because of what Jesus has done for us. It begins with faith. Bless his holy name. Rejoice. See what Jesus has done for you. If you look at the rest of Romans chapter 5 there, some of which we didn't cover, talks about what Jesus has done for us, the beautiful thing that Jesus did by dying on the cross for us, taking that punishment, taking that wrath. Glory to his name. It gives us something to boast in, something to rejoice in. We can have a closer walk with the Lord. We have access to the Lord, which will benefit every area of our lives. I believe it. You can have peace with the Lord. You can have that wonderful knowing that you have eternal life. You can have peace with the Lord. You can have access to the Lord. He is your Lord. You can go to him in prayer, and he's there. God will be with you in every tribulation. What a blessing. And God uses that tribulation. He uses that to your benefit. He blesses you through that tribulation. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's not fun. But he uses that to grow your character and build hope. You can have his Spirit. You can have his love, which comes through his Spirit. Love which you don't have to manufacture, but he manufactures in you, and you can avoid his wrath and have eternal life. I see the benefits. That's probably what you're saying. I see the benefits. How do I respond? I call them the three B's. Believe, be baptized, and be obedient. That's our response to the Lord. And maybe you're saying, I've done that. I've done all that. Now what? And I go back to Psalm 103. Forget not all his benefits. Have faith in God's goodness and have hope in God. Amen. Worship team, if you come forward. Now, as the worship team's coming forward, I'll point out something that's in your bulletin today, and I don't want to take your mind too far away from what we've been talking about. I want you to think about the blessings of the Lord. But every second Sabbath, I'm trying to make anointing, special anointing prayer, available to everyone. And this is for the elders too, so that you know. So if anyone wants special prayer, just when we ask for it, let me know, and then we'll call the elders up. And if nobody needs special prayer, we won't dwell on it. We'll just close in prayer and have a good potluck.